Okay. Thank you, Steve. The scripture reading I'm going to read is from James chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. And that's on page 320 in the Pew Bibles if you want to follow along, or you can just listen. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. Be patient, therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and the late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brothers and sisters, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to read verse 11 too. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. In 2012, I was privileged to spend a little bit of time in Colombia, in South America. And I was there because of work that at the time I was doing with Christian Peacemaker Teams. Most of you know that I was on the steering committee of Christian Peacemaker Teams as a representative of our denomination for quite a few years, until about 2 years ago. And in 2012, we decided this is an international organization. We do peace work in many places in the world. We're trying to reach to places where people are marginalized and threatened by violence. Why does our board only meet in Canada and the United States? So we went to Colombia, and we had our biannual board meeting there. And we made some important decisions, and we learned about the place where we were meeting and the community that was hosting us there. But the most important work that we did in that time was after the board meeting was over, and we went to visit the team that was actually doing the work on the ground in Colombia, in the sort of central northern part of the country, in a city called Barranca Bermeja, which is an oil town. It's a lot like Galveston, Texas, I think. It's not a place that you go to visit as a tourist, but it's a place where human rights workers have lots of work to do. And it's also a place, it's the most convenient large city to a lot of the rural communities that Christian Peacemaker Teams walks with. And the most meaningful part of this trip was visiting the community of Garsal, which is, you can't even call it a village, because the folks who live there are farmers, and so they each have little areas of land, maybe 40 acres at the most, probably less for many of them. And they farm bananas and cacao and yucca and other plants that are for their sustenance as well as for market, that they sell in the markets. And Garsal is just one of the many communities that Christian Peacemaker Teams works with who are under threat because their land is valuable to powerful people who want it for one reason or another. And in the case of Garsal, it's not just a corporation. There's actually a family that have been narco traffickers for generations who want this land as well. Christian Peacemaker Teams walks alongside these people as they try to assert their rights to stay on this land, the land that has sustained them and their families for generations, and live in peace, and do this work of asserting their rights nonviolently. Part of CPT's mission is not to teach nonviolence to people, but to find people who already understand it and who live by it, and to strengthen that witness. And there's one particular man that we met during this time who was a leader in the community. His name is Don Salvador Alcantara, and he's a pastor. He's the pastor of the little Foursquare Gospel Church that is kind of the focal point of this community. And he and his wife have the nicest house in the community, which means they have a concrete pad that it's built on. And they sort of have, they don't have running water, but they have good indoor plumbing, which is not a contradiction in terms. And so that's the most comfortable place for people like me to stay when we come to Garçon. And so Don Salvador and his wife graciously hosted us and their family. And one of the most important things that we did was to worship with their church during the time that we were there, but also to hear his story. This is a man who is helping to hold this community together simply by his presence. And he's also a man who could have left when there were threats against his life or the threats against people in his family or threats of one another, one sort or another. And they have had to leave every once in a while when there was pressure from paramilitaries or police or other people who are sort of doing the will of the various actors in this community that are trying to, in the area, who are trying to push this community out. They leave for a while, but they always come back. And they come back because the rest of the community doesn't even have the resources to leave. The rest of the community has to stay. Part of the story that he told us is how he decided at some point that he needed to change the way that he preached the gospel to those people and the way that he understood the gospel. Foursquare Gospel, at least in the United States, and it probably is different in some respect in Latin America, but they're all about the fundamentals. And that was the gospel that he preached for a period of time, until it became clear to him that there needed to be more to that gospel, that he needed to take in the social dimension, that he needed to understand the powers that were around him in the same way that Paul understands the powers and principalities that he writes about in the New Testament, that the struggle that they were involved in to remain on their land was not just a physical struggle or a struggle of civil rights, but it was also a spiritual struggle. And so Don Salvador was able to bring those things together in his preaching and in his action for this community. To say, I am with you and I'm going to stay here and I'm not going to leave even though I have the resources to be able to. I could move to the city, but I'm not going to. I'm going to stay. I'm going to continue to support this witness for self-determination here. And then one of the other things I remember from our visit with him was a very small thing, but it's connected to this passage that we read from James, the farmer who is patient through the short and the long rains. I said that their house had a nice concrete pad, so there was a nice clean floor that you could sleep on, or that you could, even if you were lucky enough like me to get a bed, You could be insured of a strong foundation for that bed. But even with that, there were plenty of insects flying through the house. And one evening, we were there after dark, and there were lots of black beetles that came up and were crawling around on the floor. And, you know, to us, they just looked like bugs. And, you know, if they were in our own home, we would have stepped on them. Or if you're kind, you know, put them in a cup and take them outside. But Don Salvador, these bugs were significant because they were the sign of, as he called it, el inviernito, the little winter. And this was in April, so it was the second batch of rain that they were going to get that season. It was the shorter rain after the long rain or the long winter, the little winter that came. So when I read this passage that James talks about, the farmer wading through the short and the long and the short rains, I thought of Don Salvador, both for the short and the long rains and also for what this passage says about patience. Part of the reason we read this passage in Advent is all about waiting and about being patient and about being still as we await the coming of the Lord. And that's, of course, what this passage enjoins its recipients to do, the people that James first wrote to in the first century. And in that context, we often think of patience as something that is passive, as something that you do by not doing stuff, something that you do by sitting still. And I think part of that is that we don't have a verb for patience. We don't have a, other than being patient, right? You have to bring in another verb to make it work. It's not like hope, which, as Colin Saxton reminded us of a few weeks ago, is an action word. Hope is a verb. Like love, love is also a verb. These are things that you do that involve some sort of action. And I think patience is the same way. Being patient, or patienting, I don't know, that doesn't sound right, but that's the best I can do in the English language. Patienting actually involves our effort. It's a lot like hope, because it takes an active attitude on our part to be patient. We hope as we move forward, as Colin reminded us. We don't stand still as we hope. By the same token, we don't stand still as we do the work of patience. Patience is also not something passive that means that I'm going to be patient as these other people do their evil work, or as they abuse me, or as they abuse someone who I care for. There are two words in Greek that the author of James uses in his letter, and they both have this sense of active work. And the one that's used in this passage in verses 7 and 8, one of the definitions of it is to be of a long spirit. To be of a long spirit. The other word that is used in verse 11, which is part of the reason that I read, where it says, talks about the endurance of Job. To endure is the primary meaning of this particular word. But it also has the sense of steadfastness and constancy. And when I think of steadfastness and constancy, I think of another group of people that Christian Peacemaker Teams works with in Palestine. Tommy knows the word, the Arabic word samud. You know this word? Samud. It means to be steadfast. When I was in Palestine visiting Bedouins, in Israel proper, actually, I should say, in the nation of Israel, there are groups of Bedouins who have been repeatedly pushed off their land and had their villages destroyed by the government time and time again. And they always come back, because that land to them is life and they don't know how to live anywhere else. And that steadfastness, rootedness to the ground like an olive tree, is what holds them there. That's the kind of patience and endurance that James is talking about in this passage. The farmer waits. But the farmer doesn't just twiddle his thumbs or her thumbs as she waits, does he or she? Because a lot of work has gone into getting those seeds into the ground and preparing the soil and making sure that the water drains properly. All of that involves work that the farmer has done. So the patience of the farmer, just like the steadfastness of a Palestinian or the determination of Don Salvador, involves preparation and active waiting. We've talked a lot this season in personal conversations and also in our time here in worship about how we are to be in the new reality that we find ourselves in the United States and in the world in this season and going forward. And part of what we need to do first, I think, is to learn patience as active perseverance, as endurance. There's a long road ahead. And some of you have traveled roads like this before. For some of us, it may be the first time. But we need active perseverance and endurance if we are to travel that road and be faithful to what God is calling us to. The first step in cultivating active perseverance, I think, is prayer. And Louise has already called us to that. Last week, she asked us at the end of worship if we would consider spending 5 extra minutes, just 5, or maybe more if you're called to it, but 5 extra minutes in prayer as part of your daily discipline to ask God for discernment. What is our role as the church? What is our role as individuals in the place that we find ourselves now in our nation? What do you want us to do, Lord? I've started doing this, not as consistently as I would like, but I've started doing this. I've taken Louise up on her invitation this week, and I'm simply asking, what do you want us to do? What do you want me to do, God? Give us the gift of discernment in this time. I haven't heard anything yet, but remember, patience and active perseverance. So it's important to persevere in prayer. That's part of it. The second thing is to know, just to know something. Know that you are not alone. We are not alone. There are lots of other Christians and other peoples of faith who are seeking God's will in this season. There are tens of thousands of people across the country doing this same work. Some of them are maybe a little further along because they've figured out something in particular. Some of them are still in the place where I think a lot of us are in terms of discernment. My friend Micah Bales, whom some of you met a couple of years ago when he was here visiting, and his wife Faith, in their community in Washington, D.C., have begun to call people together for sharing. They share a meal, and then they share their discernment, what they've discerned thus far. And they're clothing all of that in prayer. The meeting that Stephanie and I worshiped with in Indiana for a couple of years when I was there in seminary, West Richmond Friends, they've already gathered together and done some brainstorming on what their role is to be where they are. Those are just 2 examples of many, many people who are actively seeking God's will for them in this new reality that we find ourselves in. So prayer and coming together with others and knowing that we are not alone. And then the third thing that I want to lift up is to remind us that, at least to start with, our actions can be small. In various yards in various parts of the country, there are new signs springing up that have been there since sometime during the primary season. And the first one went up in the front yard of a church building in Harrisonburg, Virginia, Emmanuel Mennonite Church. And the sign says, in 3 languages, Arabic, Spanish, and English, "No matter where you're from, we're glad you're our neighbor." No matter where you're from, we're glad you're our neighbor. And it doesn't just say it in English. It says it in languages that other people in the neighborhood can understand. It's a simple thing. And in and of itself, it's probably not that meaningful. But I mention that because if we start with small actions to commit ourselves to an attitude of welcome, to an attitude of seeking to be with the marginalized, to respond to evil in whatever way God calls us to, if we begin in small ways, those small actions can build, especially as we see others taking to them around us. So remember, patience is not a passive thing. If we had a better verb for it in English, it would be a verb like hope or love. Patience is a kind of active perseverance that we need to be about cultivating with prayer, by coming together and remembering we are not alone, and by starting with small actions and seeing where those lead us. In that way, we will find, like the farmer who waits through the short and the long rains, that God is faithful. Let's remember that in our time of corporate waiting and seek to open ourselves once again to God's Spirit, who calls us to patient endurance.